Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
We are here for a very important reason. We believe in the Second Amendment. And I would like to just say, imagine to all of our friends in the 2A community, if you woke up on Wednesday morning and Joe Biden was president and Kamala Harris was vice president. But yet today on Halloween, you knew that that was coming next Wednesday. What would you do differently? What would you do differently for the next 2.5 days to protect the Second Amendment, to protect your right, and to avoid the oncoming slot of the cancel culture, which we know is coming?
Absolutely. And I'm proud to stand here as a Latina, as a single mother, as a woman who embraces and loves the Constitution of the United States and the Second Amendment. And Donald Trump will fight to protect your rights as gun owners in this country. Everything is at stake here. If you believe in your constitutional freedoms and in your right to bear arms, and as a single mother, I do indeed, then you will show up and vote resoundingly on November 3rd for Donald Trump for president, to protect the America that you know, that you love, that so many have fought and died for. We humbly ask for your support and for your vote.
All right, I'll tell you. This is Michael Cargill. Welcome to Central Texas Gunworks Come and Talk It radio show. All right, so the breaking news we're going to talk about today is the new ATF 4473. We're going to talk about that. Because guess what? That starts today. Today starts the new 4473. All gun stores in the country, all your federal firearms license dealers have to use a new firearms transaction record starting November the 1st. They got to use that one that's dated May 2020. On that form there, you got to put in the gun information first before you actually have the customer fill out their portion in Section B. So before they fill out their name, their last name, first name, middle initial, all that stuff there, the gun store has got to fill in the gun information first. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that with Edwin Walker at Texas U.S. Law Shield. Also, we're going to talk about what is going on with the ATF and SBRs. We're going to talk about that and get Edwin Walker with Texas U.S. Law Shield to break that down for us and tell us, you know, what's going on? You know, do I need to be on guard with my SBR? Are they going to come after them? Are they going to ban those? Because you just heard the speech from, you know, people that are supporting the National Rifle Association. They said, hey, if you want to protect your Second Amendment rights, you need to vote for Donald Trump. Well, I call bull because I'm telling you, you're losing your Second Amendment rights under this current president, right? So when I look at all this stuff, I look at the history of gun control. I look at the history of when I've lost gun rights. You know, a lot of those I lost on the Republican president. So you might want to think twice and take a look at that, and you might want to talk to your elected officials. I'm just keeping it real. All right, so we're also going to talk about the Walmart reverses their decision to pull guns and ammo from the display cases. We're also going to talk about the ATF interpretive change restrict handgun imports. That with Edwin Walker. We're also going to talk about the Michigan judge that overturns a ban on open carry of firearms at polling locations. Here in Texas, Election Day is on Tuesday all around the country. But in Texas, you cannot take a firearm in a polling location. People, that is a felony. I don't know what the confusion is about this. Why are you confused about it? Don't take your class online. You might want to sit in someone's course and ask some questions, because this is one thing you don't want to screw around with, all right? Because you'll wind up with a felony. You'll lose your gun rights forever because you did the Cliff Notes. Also, we're going to talk about the OnlyFans model defends family from burglars with a gun. We're going to break all this stuff down for you today. But let me bring it to the conversation. You know who we're going to have inside the studio? We have Black ATX Tactical. Man, what's going on, guys? Introduce yourself. Tell everyone who you are. Name your organization. You know, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hey, please come back to the show again, Michael. Yeah, I'm Brandon Antone. I'm the founder of Black ATX Tactical. We got Billy Carr and Melissa Jenkins. I apologize. Yeah, we're just a group that are pro 2A and just happen to be Black, you know, African Americans, just like anyone else. We come from all walks of life. We come from banking backgrounds. I'm personally in tech. Some of us are in other industries, and we're just like any other citizen. And I try to emphasize education and legal gun ownership, and that's what my group does.
Well, what do you mean? I don't understand, Brandon, because I was told that Black folks didn't like guns.
Oh, I'm from the South, so we love our guns in the South. You know, I'm from Georgia, so I have plenty of rural Black family that love their shotguns, love their guns. I have family in law enforcement and military, and hey, we're just we love them. Don't let the narratives fool you about who, you know, what we are, just because obviously there's different votings and things like that, and whatever, you know, whatever the media tries to spin. You know, I'm just keeping it real.
All right, and so tell us who you are.
Billy Carr, happen to be an administrator of Black ATX Tactical as well, along with Mr. Brandon and my lovely sister here, Melissa Jenkins. And yeah, I'm a Texas boy, and we like them guns here too. We all about that pew-pew life.
Yeah. Come on, Billy. I was told that Black folks didn't like guns.
They told you Mike.
They were wrong in the Black community.
They told you wrong. Now to be, like you like to say, keep it real, a lot of people have... they've drank the Kool-Aid over the last few decades, and in some neighborhoods and communities where there's high crime and violence, you know, people have been steered away from gun ownership, made to think that it's a bad thing. It's part of our mission to dispel that myth.
All right. And so tell me who you are. Get real close to the mic there. You got your face shield on going there.
I'm Melissa Jenkins, and I am a mod. I'm new to the 2A. I was very enthusiastic about it. I want to learn, train, and do as much as I can. And they even brought me along, and I've been just coming in and trying to, from a woman's perspective, and learn as much as I can. If I'm going to get a gun, I want to do it right and go to the right classes and not the online.
and I tell you, I get a lot of media outlets that reach out to me, and they say, you know what, we're looking at the reports, we're looking at the NICS reports, that a lot of people in the a lot of people of color are actually buying guns now. They're getting into the gun business. They're buying a gun, they're taking a class, you know. So I'm going to ask you some questions a little later on after the break there. What made you decide to get a gun and get interested in, you know, and being a firearms owner? So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about some other things that are going on around the country. And like I said, we're going to talk about, man, we're going to talk about the Americans bought a record-breaking 17 million guns in 2020 so far. That is 17 million guns. More guns have been purchased this year than any other year in the history of this country. We're going to talk about why Walmart reverses their decision to pull guns and ammo from their display cases. You know why? Because money matters. They don't care about you. They care about their lining their pockets, because they know, whoa, we didn't make that many profits this year. We need to sell some guns. We need to make up the difference. They're talking about their pocketbook. We're going to talk about that, the new ATF 4473, also the ballot or the bullet. Which one are you going to pull? What is important to you? There are three boxes out there. One is called the ballot box. One is called the jury box. Other one's called the ammo box. Do you have all three? This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace. This is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about the new ATF 4473, which starts today. That's right, federal firearms licensed dealers. If you're selling a firearm, you're doing that transaction today, you need to start using that new form that is dated for May 2020. On the firearm transaction record, you got to fill in the top portion first. You can't let the customer fill it in. You have to do your part first, fill in the gun information, the manufacturer, the model, the serial number, the type, and the caliber before the buyer, the transferee, fills in their name and information. So you got to do your part first. So unfortunately, we had to run out the Kinko's today, and we had to print those forms out because guess what? We didn't have any, you know, enough inside the store. We only had a little packet that he gave us initially, and we're still waiting on our other stuff. So we had to actually run the FedEx Kinko's and actually go print out 100 packets. Isn't that sad? That's sad. That's your federal government, though. But we have to do this because if we don't, then we get in trouble. All right, so you got to fill in that information first in Section A, which actually is the manufacturer's information, the model, the serial number, the type, the caliber. And then you have to put in the number of firearms. You have to write that in. You can't put a number. You have to spell everything out. And then you have to go to Section B, give that form to the customer. The customer will fill in their last name, their first name, their middle initial, date of birth, their height, and their weight. And I think we do have a copy of this form. Yeah, we do have a copy of this form. Okay. All right. And then so the last name, first name, middle initial, your address, you know, make sure that your address that you're putting on the form actually matches the address on your driver's license, because we're going to deny you if it does not match. So make sure your driver's license is up to date. You know, we're not dealing with the state. We're not dealing with the city. We're not dealing with your landlord. We're dealing with the federal government. So your information has got to be correct. Don't get mad at me. Don't get upset with me, because I don't care. Because the federal government says this is what has to happen. So you have to make sure that stuff matches, or you're not getting your gun. I don't make the rules. I just have to follow them. All right, so you're going to get all that information, your weight, your sex, your date of birth. You're going to put in your ethnicity. And guess what? They've added some stuff. You're going to put in your race as well. When it comes to the sex, they added the non-binary. That's right. You got to do either male, female, or you get to pick non-binary. All right, so you do that, birth date, answer those standard questions that you always have to answer. Got to make sure you're a U.S. citizen. Check that. Or if you're not, go ahead and check that box. It says you're born, you're a citizen of another country. Then we're going to have you fill out that the rest of those questions there. You answer some alien information, non-immigrant visa, and all that stuff. And then you're going to sign and date the form. And then the gun store, the FFL dealer, is going to do their part and do the background check and all that stuff. The best thing to do, folks, is to get your license to carry handgun. You get your license, this bypasses the having us, the FFL dealer, to contact the NICS and do the background check. You know, if you're worried about getting delayed, if you're born out of the country, you're going to get delayed. If you have any charges pending, you're going to, you know, anything's going on, you have any criminal history at all. Let me correct that. You have any criminal history at all, you're probably going to get delayed because they're trying to verify that information with the agency where those records are held that they're looking at. So if they can't get that information, it's a Sunday, it's late in the day, maybe that police department's not responding or that court's not responding, you're going to be delayed. To eliminate that, get your license, your handgun license, and that eliminates that problem altogether. But you know what? Let me welcome to the conversation Edwin Walker with Texas and U.S. Law Show, because I want to change direction here a little bit. I want to talk about the ATF and SBRs. Edwin, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike.
All right. So, you know, Edwin, I want to change gears a little bit. I want to talk about SBRs. I want to get into that. I want to talk about this, you know, this Wiley law firm that actually released an email and a statement about, you know, some changes, some things that the ATF is doing. And everyone's totally confused. I'm totally confused by this, Edwin. So I don't understand this letter. I don't understand what they're saying. So I need you to break this down like I'm a two-year-old.
Sure. And it is very confusing. And keep in mind, this all goes back to the fact that the ATF is continuously interpreting and reinterpreting a law that was written way back in 1934. And so, of course, we're talking about the NFA. Now, the ATF, as part of their technology division, they are given the responsibility of determining what category a firearm will fall into. It's either got to be a rifle, or it has to be a shotgun, or it has to be a pistol, or it has to be an AOW, or it has to be just a plain old regular firearm. And so using some examples, you know, a couple of years ago, we had the big controversy with the Mossberg shockwave. I know we bring it up a lot, but a lot of that obviously confused a lot of people because it clearly shoots shotgun shells. So why wouldn't it be a shotgun? Well, it's not a shotgun because the definition says it has to be designed to be fired from the shoulder. Okay, well, clearly a Mossberg shockwave cannot be fired from the shoulder. So why isn't it then an AOW? If it's not a shotgun and it looks to be real little, but why is it not an AOW? Well, it's not an AOW because it is a third longer than the 26 inches. What, 26.4 inches, 26.36, something like that.
Correct.
And so it's not short enough to be an AOW. And so they had to say, well, you got us. It has to be a firearm. So therefore, everybody can go ahead and possess it. And I think that really kind of triggered, and this is completely speculative on my part, but I think that kind of triggered the ATF about, wow, technology has reached a point where their definitions just simply don't hold up. And I think it gave them the willies a little bit to be basically blessing, if you can, all of these things that look like rifles and they shoot rifle rounds, but they are technically pistols because they are designed to be fired with one hand. And that's what I think that they have reexamined, is what does it mean to be designed to be fired with one hand? And of course, just let me preface this by saying that to make everybody sure where my position is, the fact that the NFA regulates short barrel shotguns, short barrel rifles, to me is utterly ridiculous. I guess a legitimate argument can be made about regulating machine guns, but simply to require registration and a tax stamp based upon the length of a rifle or shotgun whenever, of course, handguns. Now, keep in mind, in 1939, most of your handguns were revolvers. There were a couple of Europeans that shot 9mm Parabellums. And, of course, there's the old trusty 1911. But the vast majority of handguns were revolvers. And so, obviously, technology has not really kept up with that. And your handguns now, equal or sometimes may exceed the firepower of a short-barreled rifle or shotgun. And so I think that's where obviously Congress was making the distinction. But in today's day and time, the regulation of a short barrel rifle or shotgun is just, in my opinion, ridiculous. So that's my position if we get that out of the way. So nobody come at me and claim that I'm, would be anti short barreled. But I think that what has happened is that with the proliferation of pistols, handguns that are based upon rifle designs like the AK, like the AR, and the one that the Wiley letter mentions in particular is a pistol designed on the HK-91, which is a really cool rifle and would be a really cool handgun if you could get your hands on one. But that's what it's talking about. This particular letter is dealing with the importation, because the ATF does have more power in limiting the importation of guns that it doesn't like rather than regulating the ones that are produced here domestically. And so that's where this confusion has come, because there has been a recent, been recent letters by the ATF saying, look, we are going to provide greater scrutiny to these things that are handguns based upon rifle designs. We've previously been letting them go. I know that I kind of figured that they haven't really liked that, because, of course, a lot of people like them. And a lot of people are like, this is really cool. And clearly, as a practical matter, whenever you this fired with one hand thing, most people obviously fire, can fire a pistol with one hand. If they use two hands, they still have to wrap it around the pistol grip of the pistol. Obviously, if you fire one of these rifle designs, design pistols with two hands, you're either holding it around the barrel shroud or you're holding around the magazine well. And so you get greater accuracy, greater stabilization. And I believe this has always made the ATF a little bit nervous. And now they're kind of exploring ways where they can go back and revisit and maybe reclassify some of these. We hope they don't. So I just want to put that out there. This is pure speculation at this point, and we hope that they will not go this way. But I think this is laying the groundwork for the ATF to kind of move towards that direction.
All right, so we're talking with Edwin Walker. He's the principal attorney with Texas and U.S. Law Shield. We're talking about the new 4473. We're also talking about the rules or some things that are coming out, the rumblings we're hearing coming out of the ATF with the SBRs. We're talking about that. We're talking about ballot and the bullet. We're talking about Election Day. You cannot carry a gun in the polling place. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Brittany Glaze, and I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking with Edwin Walk. We're talking about the ATF. Now, according to this letter that was released, Edwin, from Wiley Law Firm, the ATF interpretive change restricts handgun imports and may require NFA registration. It says that in some of the new letters, ATF has begun listing the following objective design features when making its evaluations. It says incorporation of rifle sights, utilization of rifle caliber ammunition, both 5.56 and 7.62. It says incorporation of rifle length barrel. It says the weapon's heavy weight and also ability to accept magazines that range in capacity from 20 rounds to 100 rounds, which will contribute to the overall weight of the firearm and overall length of the weapon, which creates a front heavy imbalance when held in one hand. Edwin, what does this mean?
Yeah, you read my mind, Mike. That was the next thing that I was going into, before the break, is that I think this is where the ATF has tipped their hand. I think that this is where, like I mentioned in the earlier segment, I think that they've always been uncomfortable with AR platform, AK platform rifles, basically any handgun that's based upon a rifle design. Like I said, I think they've always been uncomfortable with that, and now they're kind of weaseling their way around to find a way to regulate these, and because if you look at these objective criteria, they're all based upon rifle specs. You know, the incorporation of rifle sights, I mean, that couldn't be any more blatant. The use of rifle ammunition, 5.56 and 7.62 in particular.
so what they're saying there is, if I have an SBR and or if I have a, not an SBR, let's say I have an AR pistol and I put rifle sights on it, then that really should be an SBR.
No. What they're saying is that's one of the criteria they will use. As the ATF often does, they say that this list is neither exclusive or exhaustive. And so they're just saying that using the, and I believe they actually use this term whenever we look, if you recall, whenever we talked about the Honey Badger a few weeks ago, that they are looking at the weapon holistically.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. So if I have a AR pistol, which I do right here, and I have my rifle sights, it shoots a 5.56, a 2.23, it also has a 30 round magazine. So that means they're considering that an SBR.
Well, no, like I said, none of those are determinative.
Okay.
What they're going to do is they're going to take a look at the entire weapon. And like I said, I think that they are, this is along the same lines of what they did to the Honey Badger. Whenever people were outraged or whenever they're talking about it and said, why the Honey Badger? Why did you go after the Honey Badger with all these? They didn't have an answer. They go, well, we just looked at the whole thing and we were really uncomfortable with it. And I think this is sort of an attempt to explain why they were uncomfortable with it, or to preemptively lay out some objective, and again, I would like to use my air quotes, objective criteria, where they're going to say, this really looks more like a rifle than it does a handgun. And so unless it's over 26 inches, we're going to classify it as an AOW, which would mean that you would have to get a tax stamp for it. Okay. And so that's what they're going to be looking at. And like I said, these are all rifle characteristics. It does set a dangerous precedent. And I want people to know that, of course, Congress has the power to clear this up. Unfortunately, the bills that are currently pending in Congress, the bills that are proposed by a certain, you know, that would be supported by a certain presidential candidate. All you got to do is go to his website, joebiden.com, and look to see that these issues may become moot in the future anyway, because the proposed firearms restrictions would be so excessive that AK pistols, AR pistols, any pistol based upon a rifle is going to be prohibited anyway. They would be made illegal. And that's why I want to tell your listeners that, if you consider yourself to be a well-rounded voter, which means you consider people's positions on different things, if you like guns, if you like the Second Amendment, this is the election to throw that all away and become a single issue voter. And if you support the Second Amendment, there is literally only one candidate you could vote for president. And you can verify that on the candidates' websites. In particular, I think it's kind of interesting that you brought up the 4473, and that gun dealers now have to list the guns on the front. Well, if one of the proposed legislative changes is made that Joe Biden supports, which is that you can buy one firearm a month, okay, one a month, all right, not one at a time, not one every couple of days, one gun a month, then you won't even need that, Mike. You'll just have to have the one slot there on the front.
Oh, so then we won't have to worry about multiple sales or anything, huh?
No, you won't have to worry about that at all. So, yes, it's designed to prevent gun stockpiling. And as someone who may or may not be a gun stockpiler, I find this to be particularly offensive to me.
Oh, absolutely. All right. I got someone who's got a question for you here inside the studio, Edwin.
Okay.
Sure.
This is Melissa Jenkins, and you may have already answered this question, but I need you to break it down for me. I recently purchased a Shockwave 590, and I want to change the stock. Will that be legal?
Well, the part is that the reason that a Shockwave is considered to be just a what we call a GCA or gun control firearm, which means that it's just like, you know, it's not subject to any kind of NFA regulation, is because of its length. And so if you do take that birdhead stock off of there, you have got to make sure that you maintain its length larger than 26 inches. So if you were to put just a straight, you know, drop down pistol grip on there, I think you've converted it to an AOW. So if you're calling me for my legal advice, that's what I would say, is you want to make sure that you absolutely keep the length over 26 inches.
So, ma'am, what he's saying is it's always going to be about size.
Size.
It does matter. Okay. That's okay. What he's saying.
So, yeah, I would say that you couldn't put a shoulder brace on it, because it does still have a barrel length of what is the Shockwave barrel length? 14 inches, if I'm correct. So there's really kind of a narrow course where you can go if you want to change out the pistol grip, the grip. If you don't like that bird head grip, can't make it too short. But then you also can't put anything on there which would redesign it to be fired from the shoulder, because at that point you redesigned it into either an AOW, maybe a short barreled shotgun. But that's why, you know, Mossberg spent a lot of R&D money making sure that they could navigate that very narrow course where they could have a short barrel, but yet have it be over 26 inches long, so that it wouldn't be subject to the NFA.
All right.
So adding a SB Tactical S, the Shockwave brace, it's actually a Shockwave brace. that's going to make it illegal. I don't know the length of it. I'm not sure. But when I purchased the firearm, I was told to get the SB Tactical SBM 4 Mossberg 590 Shockwave Brace Kit.
Yeah, you can get the brace. The brace is fine. Just don't do anything to the brace, which would make it appear that it can be fired from the shoulder. And so,
and don't add, so don't add like a foregrip to it.
Right, or don't add padding, or what some people were doing is they were just duct taping the brace part together. So, and this goes back to the ATF, a long line of confusion with the ATF whenever these whenever the braces initially came out, is they, because if you look at a brace, to the uneducated, the brace looks like a stock. You know, it's got the same kind of overall shape, and people would say that's a stock, which clearly it's not. It's specifically designed to wrap around the forearm. It doesn't make it easy to be shouldered. And so the ATF came out, and again, this kind of, this shows their wishy-washiness about applying these definitions. And so they first came out and they said, oh, this looks like a shoulder stock. Oh, well, wait, it's a brace. Oh, wait, well, don't design it. Oh, wait, don't use it as a shoulder stock. And what they finally have come down to is that if you both redesign the brace and use it as a shoulder stock, then you violated the law. And so those, I would say, you know, you are fully, that shoulder, I mean, that stabilizing brace, completely legal. You are okay to put it on. You are okay to use it as intended, but don't make any modifications to it, and then don't get caught actually using it as a stock.
All right, Edwin, our resident pastor has a question for you. Reverend Zach.
Hey, Edwin, it's Zach. How you doing?
Hey, doing all right.
I am not doing quite as well because I'm on JoeBiden.com, and I'm reading about his proposed gun legislation if he is elected, and
we basically truth over facts.
From what I'm reading here, the way I am understanding what I see, he wants to basically regulate ARs and other guns like that under the NFA.
Correct.
Ooh.
Which is, yes, which is not just, okay, keep in mind, these won't just, so there's basically three paths. If you look at all the Democrat proposed legislation in Congress, and if you look at Joe Biden's website, there's three things they could do. They could either outlaw assault rifles, in which, keep in mind, just to throw it out there, an assault rifle is any semi-automatic rifle that is magazine, that is fed by a magazine, that has one, only one, used to be two under the 1994 assault weapon, but it's just one. So if it has a pistol grip, which almost every one of them do, if it has a barrel shroud, if it has a foregrip, if it has a threaded barrel, that's a biggie because that includes the threaded barrel characteristic applies to both handguns and shotguns. Just imagine all of you silencer enthusiasts. Guess what? No more barrels with threads. How are you going to get your silencer on there? So if it's any rifle, so it's not just ARs, it's not just AKs, it's any semi-automatic rifle fed by a magazine that has one of these characteristics. So the three different paths that could be taken is that they could make them illegal, but yet grandfather all of the others, all the ones that are currently owned in existence, and make it very, very difficult to then transfer those. So basically, if you have them, you got them, you're stuck with them. You know, you could sell them, but you got to jump through a lot of hoops. Number two, do what Eric Solwell wants to do. He is the congressman from California, and it terrifies me that he would ever be in a position to impose his will on any kind of gun regulations. He wants to ban all assault weapons.
He wants to nuke us, too.
Correct. He wants to ban all the assault weapons with no grandfathering, which means that is an absolute 100% confiscation, which means you will be given a period of time to turn them in. And if you do not turn them in or engage in a mandatory buyback, then you will be a felon and they will come knock down your door and search your house looking for your assault weapons. So, and the third course is what Joe Biden proposes, is that assault weapons would be banned, and any assault weapons, or, and this is a biggie, high-capacity magazines that people are currently in possession of would then be required to register them and pay the tax on all of these. And so you can imagine if you're a person who has maybe stockpiled magazines or collected magazines, and you got a box full of, you know, full of 20 magazines of various calibers, all of them which hold more than 10 rounds. Just imagine that box.
$4,000 tax.
Yes, you have to pay a $200 tax on every single one of those.
Woo! Hold on there, Edwin. Wow. Hold on there. All right, we come back from the break. We'll come back. We still got to talk about Walmart reversing their decision to pull guns and ammo from the display cases. We're talking about the Michigan judge overturns a ban on open carry firearms at polling locations. Also, OnlyFans model defends family from burglars with a gun. But keep in mind that in Texas, you cannot carry a gun in a polling place. It is a felony to carry a firearm in a polling place. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talkin'.
Hey, this is AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking with Edwin Walker at Texas U.S. Law Show. Also, we have inside the studio Black ATX Tactical. And boy, I tell you, we almost came off of out of our chairs there, that last little statement you made there, Edwin. You kind of scare me a little bit, you know, and I'm concerned, you know, because this
you should be scared. I'm terrified.
Crazy. Yeah, this is crazy because there's no end to it.
No. And see, that's the thing about it is that I don't know if ATF is signaling about how they're going to change things or if they're in preparation to change things. But the thing about it is that, you know, depending upon how the election goes, the ATF may be emboldened to just go off the rails and make all kinds of crazy interpretations they want without even waiting for legislative action.
Okay. Any questions for Edwin here inside the studio?
Not necessarily. That does look pretty scary, the plan he's outlining. Does he have the executive power to actually implement this on his own, or does he need majorities?
Well, that's a great question, because as we've seen, you know, the executive does have the power to direct the ATF to do things. And so, yeah, there are certain things like the definition, like the straightforward definition of rifle and shotgun and pistol. Those, you know, they can't mess with, and they couldn't come out and say, you know, we are prohibiting or we are regulating rifles that have previously been unregulated for, you know, 50 years, that being the AR. And so that's what they want to do. I don't think they can do that through executive action, but this kind of nibbling around the edges, this kind of looking at definitions or amorphous definitions, which is, you know, the bump stock ban is a prime example of that. Legislatively, they wanted to do it. They couldn't succeed. And so they said, we'll just have the ATF re-examine their examination of what a bump stock does. And so they used an existing definition to try to ban this as an accessory. And so I think that is what that's what can be done with executive action. But the big scary things like limiting gun sales, you know, consumers to purchasing one gun a month, classifying magazines as large capacity ammunition feeding devices, requiring them to be registered by the ATF, just coming out and banning semi-automatic rifles that have pistol grips, that would have to be done by legislative action.
Yes, sir. Billy Carr, Black ATX Tactical here with the question. I get that, you know, guns are scary to some people. But, you know, given that we've had 17 plus million guns sold this year alone, and a large percentage of that is going to individuals who, you know, previously were not into guns or didn't believe in them, I guess more of the liberal bent. And also given that so many more African-Americans are getting into gun ownership and training, et cetera, I'm kind of curious as to why you maybe get your opinion on why you think the Democratic Party isn't adjusting their platform as it relates to gun ownership.
Mm. Well, I think because the anti-gun folks are one of the engines that drive the Democratic Party. I mean, the whole if you look at all of the students from the Parkland shooting and, you know, David Hogg in particular, I mean, this is supposed to be the new voice of the Democratic Party. And you're exactly correct. You would be 100% right if we were talking about Texas in the 1980s and the 1990s. There were many, many, many Democrats who were Democratic, you know, who were socially liberal, economically liberal, but yet they still supported gun rights. And that's how, that's how we got our initial CHL law way back in 1995. And so there used to be, that was one of the things that was, that you did find in Democrats, is that there was, there was a variety of voices. But yet, if you look at the last 10 years or so, the Democrats are playing to that group that, gun safety, and I'm again using my air quotes, gun safety is very important to. And I think that a lot of it is because of that people are just simply are not educated. You're right that they think that, you know, they see these guns and they're scary and, oh, nobody should have these type of guns. But they don't realize that that's sort of the poster child. That's the glamorous or the scary type of gun. But yet the legislation crosses all boundaries. For example, let's say you did have a first time gun buyer and they went to the gun store and they bought themselves a Glock Model 17, or they went and got themselves a Beretta Model 92, both of which have standard high capacity magazines in them. And so if you went to one of these liberal gun buyers and said, guess what? You know, you bought your Glock 17. It came with three magazines. Joe Biden has said any magazine larger than 10 rounds, you're going to have to pay a $200 tax on. And so guess what? Now you have to register your gun, your magazines, and pay $600 tax on top of it for a gun that you went to the gun show and bought as your first gun to protect yourself and your family. People need to realize that this is the extent. These are the ramifications, that it's not just about banning scary guns, because, you know, a lot of people think that an AR automatically shoots, you know, is automatically an automatic rifle that shoots multiple rounds. They just simply don't know any better. And I think that maybe if there was a little more education out there, that we would kind of see that Second Amendment rights and gun rights can be an area where Republicans and Democrats could agree on. And there would be, you could find pro-gun Democrats. But mm-hmm. just go look at any of the bills pending in Congress, especially what was 5915, which is the sort of the biggest, the omnibus gun bill that's currently pending. It has 132 co-sponsors, none of which are Republicans. They are all Democrats. And so I think that reflects the majority belief of the Democratic Party.
All right, another quick question for you, Evan, there.
Oh, I didn't really have a question, but I was just going to say it's kind of funny in the 50s and 60s that firearm safety and education was something taught in schools, in public education, and now we're kind of at a point where guns are scary, guns are bad. And to be honest, what you're saying is I think that for someone like a Biden or something like that, any Democrat is going to run on a typically anti-gun platform is to satiate the more of like the white liberal base, because they're the majority and they tend to sway a lot of the votes. And, you know, they're a majority in terms of the Democratic, even though like blacks vote 90% Democrat, it's not enough to sway them to go to other parties as well. You know, so I definitely do agree with many of your points, and also the miseducation, especially dating back, you know, I was born in 83, but even dating back to the 90s, Democrats and Republicans were not so divided on gun ownership and gun safety. And here we are, you know, like you said, 2020, and totally different voice.
All right. So, man, I want to thank Edwin Walker from Texas U.S. Law Show for coming on. Thank you, Edwin. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Yo, what's going on, guys? It's Jack Jones here, and I get my gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
What's your name, bud?
Zena.
Can you tell us about your dad?
Okay, so we used to always hang out. We used to always go places. And we used to always play around.
That's all right, son. Keep it going. Keep going. And he's strong. Hey, baby. He's strong. You can do it.
And he used to always teach me how to be a man.
Alhamdulillah. Praise God. Praise God. That's right. That's right.
And these white racist cops got my own dad.
I'm sorry.
Because.
He's a man's man.
And black life still matter.
These are the things that you hear from kids, you know, who are growing up, you know, watching their, you know, their family members, you know, shot and killed by police. And here we are, you know, it's election time, and people looking to the Democrat Party, they're looking for the Republican Party. But we go back and forth between these two parties. It's almost like we're trying to figure out who has the best master. You know, where, you know, which way should you give your vote? And I'm just curious, you know, especially from the black community, you know, I look at how gun control came, you know, where it came from initially. You know, we go back to the 1600s, where the first gun control law in this country was you could not sell any firearms to indigenous people. Your second gun control law in this country was you could not repair any firearms from indigenous people. The first gun control law in Texas was, you know, free slaves cannot have access to guns. And then they started regulating handguns, didn't regulate long guns. They regulated handguns, said, okay, well, we're going to take handguns from everyone, but you can keep your long guns. And that was like 1870. And that's kind of where they started regulating firearms. You know, it's called the Jim Crow laws. You know, Indians couldn't have access to firearms, couldn't sell them and things of that nature. So when you look at gun control, you look at gun control laws, every step of the way, all the way back to the 1600s, it's always about race. It's always about race. It's always about race and control, no matter how you want to spin it. All right. So, you know, you got to think of, you know, how do you who's going to keep you safe? You know, who's, you know, who are you going to vote for that's going to keep you safe in this troubled times, you know, where we are today? You know, who's going to walk into your house and take your guns? And that's what I have to decide. You know, that's who I'm going to give my vote. And I want to ask you guys here, you know, what do you think about this current election? You know, what's, you know, election day is on Tuesday. So I don't know if you've already voted. I know I already have. I voted already. I make sure I got my vote in there. So, you know, just tell me what your thoughts are. Brandon?
Yeah, I already voted, but I agree with you. We always argue who has the best master and things like that. And on the issue, if you're talking solely single, you know, a single issue in terms of gun rights or gun control, wherever it may be, it's just very interesting with our group. We tend to, I personally get a lot of resistance from, both sides. I get it from other black people that are very liberal. I get it from white people that are very liberal. And interesting enough, the people that came out, you know, people or the conservatives that historically think that say that we're enemies and things like that. It's really interesting to see. And I'm just saying, for me, it's just, I just want to protect myself. I want to protect my loved ones. I want to protect the women in my life, my you know, family, everything like that. I'm just doing what's right for me. But obviously, I mean, like you said, Republicans have done gun control as well. And right. Obviously, Biden is going to staunchly be pro gun control. And obviously, it's to help their, you know, him win the election. So, I mean, I can't be complicit to either of them. I mean, I voted, but that's how I'm going to frame it. So,
I would agree. And I think what, you know, Brandon said that is most paramount is, you know, the single issue concern. I think that if it were just that issue alone, I could probably advocate one way or the other. I think everybody has to vote their conscience. But I will say, as it relates to gun control, if that is something that is your deal, regardless of who, what party you subscribe to or which candidate you vote for, you know, I think it's upon us, it's incumbent upon us to join a 2A community and fight for our rights, regardless of who's in the White House, who takes the Senate or the House. There are more and more gun owners now than ever before. There's a reason for that. I think that people in general feel that we have to, on some level, be our own first responders. And if we subscribe to that ideology, then we're going to have to put in the work and make sure that we protect those rights.
Let me ask you this, you know, because here's a question I get in class, you know, and I get 120 students a week, and I'm looking at, you know, 20 students, 15 students, whatever it is, you know, sitting in a class, their faces are looking at me. I don't see any mouths. I see just their eyes because we have face masks on. Mm-hmm. So it's a totally different look in 2020. And so when people are looking at me, this is a question I'll get. I'll get a young lady that will tell me, she said, she is deathly afraid as a black female. She's deathly afraid of being pulled over by police. What does she do? You know, I'm going to ask you guys, you know, what would you tell a person that asked you that question? Said, look, when I see those blue lights behind me, I'm deathly afraid because of everything that's going on, because of what I see in the news. They're deathly afraid of those blue lights, you know, as a black female. So what do I say to a person like that?
Yeah, Melissa will chime in on that. But I was going to say Texas is one of those states that you have to, you know, tell the officer that you do have a firearm. You know, I have family in Georgia. You don't have to. Certain states you have to, some you don't. But what do you think, Melissa?
Here in Texas, you have to if you have a license.
Correct.
Right.
So if you don't have a license and you just have it in your glove box, then mm-hmm. you're not required to.
Right.
So but as
lean into the mic there.
So as a black female with a license, I make sure I'm up on all the rules, the state's laws as much as I can be, and I try to follow those. So if I get pulled over, I'm going to hand them my license. I'm going to hand them my carry, both of them, and just go from there. The ideal is not to get pulled over. But if I do, this shouldn't have to be an issue. It should be the same standards, black, female, white, female. All those rules should be the same. So if I'm getting pulled over, I should be treated just as any other person pulled over. I know it's not the same, but the way it should be. So I would hand them my thing, let them know if I'm caring or not. Crack the whip. Don't get smart. Don't get lippy, I guess. And just do the normal things. Me, myself, I feel like I have the right to carry. I mean, it's my right to carry. I'm not breaking any laws. I'm not doing anything illegal. So it is what it is.
All right. And then another popular question that I'll get is, And I had this question asked, you know, put forth to me this past Saturday. Young man looked at me, young black male, you know, looked at me and he said, you know, we're, you know, as a black male, you know, he felt like, you know, hey, he's, we're being shot, we're being killed, you know, by law enforcement. And there's no recourse. He sees when an officer clearly does something wrong. There are cases, and he told me that there are cases when the person that is being pulled over is in the wrong. But he said that in the case where the police officer is wrong, why is that police officer not prosecuted? What do we do? Why do we have a system set up so that police officers investigate themselves and clear themselves of any wrongdoing, but, you know, there's no prosecution, you know, the officer's not prosecuted. The only thing you can really do is get an attorney and file a civil suit and sue that police department. And really, you're really suing the city because it's not the police department that pays. It's the city that pays, which are your tax dollars when that police officer does something wrong. But there's no criminal penalty to it when they're clearly in the wrong. What do you say to something like that?
That's a tangled web. It's hard to say. What are we going to? I mean, this is why people are marching. This is why we're pushing for reform, everything like that, trying to change the face of Black America for everyone. I think that we're all symbols of that in our all walks of life. It's a very tough answer. Like for me personally, I try to, you know, get my tag. You know, I have a family tell me get my license and registration, my tags, everything like that up to date, so law enforcement doesn't have a reason to pull me over. And obviously, no, like I said, I have family that's former law enforcement. I kind of know how to, I know the standard operating procedure. Me personally, I've not had a bad experience with law enforcement in the 20 plus years I've been driving, but I know that occurs. I also have a dash cam in my car. So, I mean, to record everything in and out, I mean, that's just my way to hedge my bets, I guess. It's my contingency plan. I mean, it's the world we live in. I mean, I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I cannot live in fear. I have to live my life just like anyone else, just like you. And that's all we have to do. And, you know, pray that we are doing the best we can. All
right. And what do you say?
Yeah, I agree. That is a tough one to handle. You know, as it relates to, you know, how police officers who engage in misconduct are treated. I mean, that's just something that we have to engage in on a social political level, you know, and deal with accordingly. As it relates to gun ownership, you know, I agree with, you know, both of my compadres here. You know, we have to venture out and we have to do the things that we have the right to do. And perhaps, you know, those good engagements that we have with law enforcement, hopefully will encourage them to approach all motorists, African Americans, especially, with the same kindness and the same professionalism, and not fear us or fear what would happen when they encounter us.
I tell you what, this week is election day. On Tuesday is election day, and this weekend I had more people walk into the gun store to buy guns, buy ammunition, because they're getting ready for the election, and that's sad. You know, that's really sad on where we are today.
Is this Jamaica?
I know. Yeah. And they're you know, they say, hey, listen, we got to get ready for the election. So we're buying guns. We're buying ammunition, wherever they can get ammunition from. I tell you, it's not, you know, it's not gold. It's not silver. It's not Bitcoin. It's like, do you have any bullets? This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so Americans have bought a record number of guns so far this year. That's 17 million guns so far this year by the end of September. That means sales have surged during spring because of coronavirus fears, and then they surged again because of racial injustice, because of protests and things of that nature. Now, man, you know, here we are again. It's election time. And people are running to the gun store again to buy guns to get ready for the election. and ammunition. And, you know, and finally, I think the media is picking up on it, that ammunition is hard to get. We've been I knew this problem since January, February. They're like, oh, my goodness, you know, ammunition. You know, there's finally running stories and they're talking about ammunition. They still haven't discussed the gun issue and why a lot of guns are not out there, why you can't get, you know, particular guns or why a large number of guns are not there. That's because your manufacturers, you know, they're looking for those parts and pieces that they're getting for overseas and they can't get that stuff in. You know, you got Taurus. Their guns are made in Brazil. You know, Brazil's been shut down for months. You know, Brazil like shut down like 6 months. And so when they finally open back up, it's going to take that stuff. First of all, they got to make it and then they got to get it across the, you know, the water. Then they got to get it, you know, through customs. You know, we're talking about that stuff there. We won't even see that stuff the next year in reality. And that's a hard thing for people to understand. They're like in shock by this. What do you mean? Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's where we are today. When things shut down, we get our parts and pieces from overseas and other countries. And then once they open back up, it's going to take time for them to make this stuff. It's going to take time for them to get it to the United States and take time to cross customs. It doesn't happen that easy. That's just how it is. It's just where we are today. And people just lose their mind. And it's funny to me because I get people that will, you know, get upset about the fact that they want something and they can't get it. You know, well, if you yell at me, I'm definitely not going to get anything for you because we're talking about a gun. Can you imagine? So it's funny. But that's, you know, have no fear. You know, this week we're going to start selling some ammunition. I'm going to go to the storage closet and I'm going to pull out some ammo and we're going to start selling ammo. We're going to have some 7.62 by 39. I'm going to have some 5.56, some 223. We're going to pull some good stuff out there for you. So come on. Yeah, we're going to pull it out of storage. There's a little storage place there, and we're going to start selling some ammo on Election Day. So for those people that are stressing out because they need some ammo for Election Day, so we're going to put it out there in circulation. Give you some ammo. All right, so Walmart. Let's talk about Walmart. So Walmart, first, I'm confused. First, they said, you know what? You know, we're going to remove the guns from the shelves. Now we're going to bring them back out. What is it? The almighty dollar is winning again.
I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, what is it? Get woke, go broke? I mean, that's what happens. And Walmart is a big retailer, and especially like in middle America, so makes sense, totally. Whatever, I mean.
Tell me about your group, Black ATX Tacticals. You guys went out to the range today. You went to the indoor range this past week. You yep. got a group of people together. How many people you have with your group?
Yeah, we had about 60 people.
60 people. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys got a chance to, you know, get together, go shoot. Man, how was it?
Oh, it was great. Just had some people, just the camaraderie and things like that. And I think one of the things Black ATX Tactical tries to promote is inclusion. We're not trying to exclude anyone else, but we know as long as there's going to be exclusion or that feeling of discrimination within the gun community, we're here. We're going to be here. And I want to promote that. And anyone willing to help, allies, you know, we have a GoFundMe. We want to host more events. And, you know, I think it's really cool. We had some black-owned businesses. We got to shoot the machine guns. We got to shoot some binary triggers. People had different stuff. Good food, laughing, talking. We gave away memberships, training, everything like that. So I think it was something we were really good. It was very kind of upscale and things like that. Everyone felt really good and just, you know, good vibe.
What I particularly enjoyed was the fellowship. The fellowship. All of us getting out there, like-minded, it was meet and greet. So we had to talk and train and find people on the same level because you have the avid gun owners and then you have a lot of the new ladies. And we get to talk. We talk about the dress code. We talk about different things that are normally. I love Black ATX Tactical. Before I joined this group, I was in a couple of other groups, and I'm in there, and I'm like, no, I'm not trying to join the militia. I'm not trying to start a revolution, you know. So once I found Black ATX Tactical, it was a really good fit for me. The training, the community service, the outreach, I just love it. So the inclusion, there's never a dumb question. I'm asking questions. They were so patient and nice. To me and others, that it's just a good community feel.
Nice. All right, awesome. Yeah, because the laws are, like, really weird, you know, and strange, and people get, you know, confused about that. The fact that, don't forget, You cannot take a firearm in the polling location. I cannot stress that enough. You cannot take a knife, with the length of the blade over 5 1/2 inches in a polling location. You cannot do that. You cannot take a club in a polling location. You cannot take any weapons at all in a polling location. So if your polling location is at Walmart or HEB every other day throughout the year with your license, you can carry an HEB. But then if it's a polling location, you have to leave your gun in your vehicle. You cannot take the gun past that sign that says no campaigning past this point. If you go past that point, you walk in, you give them your license to carry handgun because you can use that as an ID, and then they notice that you have a firearm or a weapon, that is a felony 2 to 10 years in jail. Don't drop the soap. Okay? All right, so now, man, what's up with this this OnlyFans model that defends family from burglar with a gun? What is up with that? I didn't even hear about that story. Anybody hear about that?
No, I heard about John Jones scaring off an intruder.
Who's John Jones?
Yeah, he came out with his rifle. You know, he lives in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Just came out with his rifle.
Nice.
Ready.
So Ansley Pacheco, she's the OnlyFans model. What is OnlyFans? Zach? Reverend Zach, what's OnlyFans? He's like, this like, I know you know. And your mother's listening.
I don't know what that is.
don't pick up the Bible now. He can't save you now. All right, so she's an OnlyFans model. And apparently, man, what happened here? So this is out of Miami-Dade County, Florida. In a chilling incident, an OnlyFans model defended her family from a mass burglars who actually stormed into her home and brandished Uzi guns at her and her family. The home security footage of Ansley Pacheco's house showed the popular Instagram model in the bedroom of her Hialeah property on October the 4th when the incident happened. So two men burst through the front door and started shooting at the family model's husband, Daniel, and his friends who were in the house. The video shows 26-year-old Pacheco rushing to grab her own pistol before she began shooting back at the robbers from the bedroom doorway to save her family, according to a report there. So, man, that's pretty crazy.
In the video, they had to blur out her backside.
Oh, so she was...
I guess she was clad scantily.
She was actually on OnlyFans at the time, huh?
Giving members only access.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Ain't nothing free.
All right, so, and then what else is going on? And so you have, there's one other story, Michigan. They're talking about those polling locations. Well, we're not going to talk about that because I don't want to get people confused about that, because then you'll start taking your guns in places you're not supposed to take them. Hey, speaking of that, you guys ever talk about the alcohol at all with your group and how bars are open now? Bars.
I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that with the root. I mean, I've read a lot for what you've posted, talked about that. About the law a little bit.
And before we go, tell us about your group and how they can find you and support Black ATX Tactical.
Yeah. Myself, you can find the page, just Black ATX Tactical, on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. There's a GoFundMe also for that, and a Cash App, whatever it may be. You can find us on that. Just reach out. You can talk to the page, talk to us on the page on Instagram, send me a message. And we're more than willing to, I mean, we want to have more events. Like the one we had at the Range was really cool. And then my friend Aaron Banks of Keep Firing LLC, he's going to have an event next week for a kids firearm safety course at the, I think, Florence, Texas?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going out there and things like that, kids 8 to 16.
Okay.
Go ahead, Billy.
Well, I was just going to add that I believe we still have spots available for that youth event, if anybody's interested.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, so definitely get out there and go vote. And go vote. Election Day is this week, so let your voice be heard. Let your voice be counted. Let your vote be counted. We may not know what's going to happen on November the 3rd. We may find out a week later. So I hope you got some guns and ammunition. If not, I do. All right. So, and remember this, if you don't remember anything else. A man's rights rest in three boxes. The ballot box, the jury box, and the ammo box. As always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill. My guns, my-
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.